Classical composers have always used repetition as a device, and how they've used it has changed radically in the last couple of decades. Repetition has become more noticeable, more relentless. John Schaefer hosts the great public radio show New Sounds, and we regularly call on him in matters such as these to explain it to us. And John now joins Guru and I in the studio to talk about a few examples. Hi, John.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about the use of repetition in current pop music and hip-hop and in jazz, but it's been around for hundreds of years in the Western tradition, has it not?
It absolutely has. And, you know, in the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, it actually formed the basis for a lot of that music as well. And for a very simple reason. There were certain hit tunes, even back then, that everybody knew. If you were a music fan, you knew certain of these melodies, and they would be used as a baseline over which you would build your own composition. And sort of like Miles Davis riffing on pop songs in the early 1980s. So one of the most famous examples of that is the Pachelbel Canon, which has been used in movies and commercials.
And every Fern bar in America for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a tune that a lot of people know. What it really is it's a canon. It's the same sort of melody layered on top of itself and sort of moving in and out of phase. And these are all words that can be used to describe Steve Reich's music, which we'll hear, but which is 300 years later.
No, it sounds like a very modern description of something rather than a 17th century piece of music.
Right, and what's happening underneath it is a repeating set of chords, and it just repeats and repeats and repeats, and meanwhile, over it, you get this interplay of the different melody lines.
Let's listen to a little bit of the canon in D by Pachelbel to see what John is talking about. I don't even think I need to identify that as Pachelbel's canon. When you say, John, that was there was a familiar song from the 17th century, that basic set of chords was a popular tune of the time?
Actually, in this case, no. That's an original composition by Pachelbel, but it was a very common practice to use a popular set of chords or a popular melody as the basis for a piece. And if you listen to the canon, you should be listening to the plucked part. That's the repeating part, never changes. It's the violins on top that give you all the musical interest.
Guru, does that seem significantly different from how you create music and layer music?
Not really, especially when I work with a lot of vocalists, R&B vocalists and jazz vocalists, because, like, say they were doing a hook or whatever for a song, they will do the hook and that will repeat, and then they will riff on top of that.
Somewhere along the line, Western composers, so-called classical composers, began discovering world music, by which we mean non-Western music. John, how is repetition is obviously used to a different end in a lot of that music?
Yeah, it really is, especially in some of the trance traditions of the world. The Sufis are a particularly good example of this, where musical repetition is used often to great length, because the music in and of itself is just a means to an end. And the end, the desired byproduct, I guess, of this ceremony, of this ritual, is to achieve some kind of altered state of consciousness.
So it's like a mantra in meditation.
Absolutely. And in the case of, for example, the Qadiri dervishes, who are one of the many Sufi dervish ensembles from around the Arabic world, this particular group is from Kurdistan. They use a series of very repetitive prayers over and over again, accompanied by repetitive movements. Most people know the whirling dervishes. These Qadiri dervishes do this weird sort of bowing over and over again. They have very long hair, and their hair is actually sweeping the floor of the stage as they're bowing over and over. I don't know how they do it for 20, 30 minutes at a time without getting dizzy and falling down, but then we wonder that about the whirling dervishes as well. This particular piece is an actual excerpt from one of their ritual services. I recorded this live in Fez, Morocco, actually. And it's pretty powerful stuff. It's a real simple, it's, you know, as musicians would say, it's a deep groove.
Let's listen.
It's pretty repetitive stuff, mm-hmm. and Guru, it's sort of like call and response as well. I mean, it's all stuff that modern Western pop musicians play with a lot.
And then in religion, there's a lot of prayer that's repetitive, whether it's Christian prayer, Islamic prayer. My sister's a Buddhist, so when she's chanting, I hear her.
Namho Renge Kyo, Namho Renge Kyo.
And then they go into a whole thing, and it's like, wow, and they all know it.
John, composers, serious contemporary posers, so-called, like Philip Glass and Steve Reich, have certainly, in much of their music, latched onto this hypnotic, repetitive kinds of sounds as a large part of what they do.
Yeah, and in large measure as a reaction to the increased complexity of 20th century music. And then in the late 60s, early 70s, there was really a whole artistic development, not just in music, but in other disciplines like dance and the visual arts as well, towards simplicity. I mean, it was a reaction to increased complexity and people feeling like they were losing touch with their audience.
Minimalist artists like Donald Judd, who just made plain metal boxes for all I could tell.
Absolutely. and dancers like Trisha Brown, and there were many others. And what Steve Reich did was, after studying West African music, Indonesian gamelan music, Western music, medieval music, he decided that repetition would be at the core of his work. His early pieces are just tape loops that are layered one on top of another, canon style, going back to the Pachelbel idea. And those tapes moving in and out of sync with each other would create these sort of odd musical acoustic effects. And then he transferred that effect to conventional instruments. For example, in a piece called Drumming, which he did in 1972, very hypnotic stuff. It's just percussion layered on top of each other. It's not as repetitive as it might initially sound, but it initially sounds really repetitive.
Let's listen. And so on. That's Steve Reich. The thing about so much music like that, which I actually like, but the Philistine in me would say it is daring us to be bored. But it is daring us to turn it off because the changes don't happen at a fast enough rate.
Either that or it's daring you to actually listen a little more closely and to get below the surface.
I agree. Because, I mean, like with Gangstar, my partner, DJ Premier, he's one of the foremost producers in the game, and for years, and his style, I remember when we first came out, they used to say, well, it was too minimal or whatever, but now he's skyrocketed and everybody wants his tracks because he keeps it simple, but there's a emotion and a feeling in the simplicity of it.
And where the satisfactions don't come as easily as with some piece of pop that
exactly is
obvious.
Well, the thing with Steve Reich's music is, like the Islamic piece that we heard earlier, you know, you get repetition, rhythmic repetition, you lock into a groove, and it's sort of like what the two of you were talking about earlier, that you know, the body sort of just responds to it on a real physical level. And, you know, no surprise, I think, that Reich's Music Guru has been remixed by lots of people.
I think people enjoy letting go of thought a little bit and letting their bodies just absorb the music. And I don't know, but more in a dance way, in the clubs, definitely.
If we could play one of those Steve Reich remixes, hip-hop remixes that you mentioned, I'd love to hear one.
Well, this actually is the piece Drumming, which we just heard an excerpt of. This is the remix
version. So we're repeating ourselves.
This is from the album called Reich Remixed, which is a bunch of DJs having a go at this music by Steve Reich.
John Schaefer, thank you very much. Let's listen to a little more Steve Reich.